On today's Spit Hit, we talk about tuba players. I'm sure that I have something really, really good to say about them, as I always do. We talk about assuming that everyone is hitting on you and never being looked at by anyone ever again. And it's part two of our best movie themes draft. Make sure you tell your friends about the show. Enjoy.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A yuckity mucka belly feels like gunk.
Oh, that's great. That was outstanding.
It was autobiographical.
It was.
Just wanted to skip.
Are we bringing
people
this out then?
Well, I guess so. I guess so,
says the man who yuckity brought it up.
Look, when your mind is on something and you're told to scat immediately, you don't have many choices. You just go.
Just go is going to be a problem.
Whoa!
Spitballers Podcast, episode 193. Welcome in. This sometimes you just know a show is going to happen. Other times you're not sure it is going to happen. Today's the latter because Jason is he ate something that is not agreeing with him.
Not agreeing, and I'm in a lot of pain. I'm here for you, Spitwad. I'm pushing through the pain.
Oh, push it.
No. I'm holding through the pain. I'm holding strong for you, so be there for me.
Would you rather life advice in our second movie theme draft? So part two of the best movie themes. Very excited about that. The first part was incredible. My team, of course. And
to be fair, all three teams were very strong.
They really, really were. It was funny. On last episode, I said, oh, Mike, your team's going to win. And then I went and I looked at my team and I was like, wait, my team is awesome.
No, you were right. My team is going to win, but your team was awesome.
And then I looked at Andy's. I was like, well, those were awesome.
This is where we're in the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I got some dark horses.
Okay. Well, we'll get there soon. Spitballerspod.com. If you want to support the show, we appreciate you over there. Instagram.com/spitballerspod. Always appreciate your reviews. Click the plus over on Apple Podcasts if that's where you're listening. Subscribe over on Spotify. And tell your friends about the show. If you want your friends to be happier, then one of the top ways you can do that is just tell them about a free comedy podcast called The Spitballers.
Well, and I want you to remember, we are your friends. And yes, if you want us to be happier, then you tell your other friends about the
double
show.
Double
it's
happy.
Two for one special.
All right, let's get it going.
Would you rather?
Nick from the website, would you rather start every conversation you have by loudly and sternly proclaiming, I am a married man, or end every conversation by making eye contact and saying, thank you for making me seem so smart?
Oh my gosh,
this is very specific.
I am a married man, you have to declare it at the beginning.
Yes,
you start the conversation with I am a married man very loudly.
Now, I am a married man.
Yes.
But this question would just be, you know, sometimes it would make no sense, like right there.
Well, I mean, it's real. You're really insinuating the person you're talking to has ulterior motives.
What?
We got there. We got there. And that is, it's a really insulting thing to, no matter who you are talking to proclaim loudly that I am spoken for. I have no interest in you.
It could be very awkward in certain situations, especially.
It's awkward in every single circumstance.
I think it's less insulting than the other one. The other one saying, when you finish,
right,
thanking you, thank you for making me seem so smart.
But at least the conversation's done.
Okay, and you can walk away and then never talk to that
smoke
person again.
Bomb.
I would intentionally forget my wedding ring in the first scenario. That way I have an excuse for saying what I'm saying. See, and then I say, I would follow it up with, I lost it. I lost the ring.
I feel like at least there's a little bit of a compliment to it. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a compliment to yourself.
Yeah, how is that a compliment for them?
It is not to the person you are talking to.
Under any circumstance?
Under any circumstance. Because what you are saying is, I am so incredibly appealing
desirable.
And attractive that I know what you're thinking, and I'm going to cut you off
but what if
right
you,
there.
What if you end that phrase with a wink?
I am
a married man.
The wink is like the
grossest
the wink
move
is
in the world.
The worst.
Is there any way you could save this by always wearing a tuxedo? Right? Because then maybe you just came from a wedding. If I just came from a wedding, I'd have a right to say that.
That's a declaration of joy.
I have a right to say
I am a married man.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a proclamation.
Yeah.
But it is not.
Or,
well, to be
or
fair,
a just married t-shirt? I'm just trying
says,
to save this.
Oh, it does
say,
yeah.
The question says sternly proclaiming
right.
I am a married man.
Which is the proclamation.
Right.
Okay. Maybe.
So maybe that's, so in one of these, you have to wear a tux at
yes.
all times.
Very fancy.
Now, ironically, a tux could help the next, you know, the other one too. Like, thank you for making me seem so smart. No one looks dumber in a tuxedo, right?
I'm not tracking here. I've lost where you're going.
If I were wearing a tuxedo,
yeah,
and I look just so fancy, I am top
yes.
notch, looking good, and at the end I'm like, "Thank you for making me seem so smart." It plays in the
okay,
my
yeah, you can
character.
you can kind of get away with it. I see that, but now I'm just imagining Andy on like the pickleball courts, but he has to wear his tuxedo. Because he has committed to the bit of every conversation he has.
No, see, on the pickleball courts, saying that I'm a married man would be important because maybe I have a random doubles partner. And I they may end up wanting to, you know, I'm very desirable, especially on the courts.
So we know what Andy's picking. Andy knows his desire level is so high that
who's
he must
to say
proclaim.
Any random doubles partner wouldn't want to marry me? I'd want to marry me out there.
Yeah. No.
Okay. I'm fine.
the truth is the thank you for making me seem so smart can be lovingly jokingly
you
said.
You can hit him with the wink after that one.
Right.
Oh, you, the wink after that
yeah.
saves it.
There's really no getting away with I'm a married man.
Right.
You say that to someone and I think I've got to go with thank you for making
okay.
me seem so smart.
Bing. Brennan from Patreon, would you rather have everyone around you, that would be your family or the strangers, whoever, always be looking at you, or
oh, no.
for no one to ever look in your direction again. So you are invisible in the world. If no one ever looks at you, you will feel, this is like a Twilight Zone to me.
Yeah.
Like a Twilight Zone where you're not physically, technically invisible, but if no one ever looks at you, do you exist? Are you visible? Help me!
Oh, the always looking at you. Both of these are bad, but I get it, so would you rather? The always looking at you is a catastrophic nightmare of everyone always looking at you.
Do you know who experiences that right now?
I do. Not I do. it wasn't me saying that I experienced that.
It's the Truman Show again.
I am a married man.
There's Mr. Truman Show.
I wasn't saying that I do experience that, but I do know who experiences that. And my answer,
do you care to answer?
My answer is probably different than yours, but I would say middle schoolers.
Oh, okay.
Because they truly think every place they walk in, they think everyone
yes.
is watching.
But there
them.
Is a sect of people that actually have this happen to them, and that is the major celebrity.
Sure,
because
yeah,
the paparazzi
yes.
follows you everywhere. You
yes.
are being watched. I literally just read an article about a celebrity. I won't say the name, but they were so.
What does it rhyme with?
I'm not going to rhyme it. But they were so devastated because, like...
Schmushton Schmieber.
No, it wasn't Schmushton
Schmieber.
But
what are the initials?
But they... this is why they follow these yeah. people. But they literally said they went to the beach and they had to suck in their stomach the whole time because they were so afraid of being perceived a certain shape or a certain size because their eyes are on you all the time. Would you be so self-conscious? Every action,
yes.
I would never get to pick a booger. I mean, you're just completely
I have not gone to the beach and not sucked in my stomach in years. I don't like
all the time.
This is yes, 100% of the time I'm on a beach, I'm sucking in my
stomach.
How
do you not?
You really think you're saving much there?
I definitely know it's happening, regardless of whether paparazzi are following me or not. I you know, it's my own shame. I don't need it in the papers. To already
how exhausted is your core when you leave the beach?
I've got a lot of practice.
How do you not have a six pack just by?
Oh, I got a six pack under there.
Okay, there's,
it's, I mean it's there. It just keeps my six pack is growing stronger and stronger, pushing my belly out.
I gotcha. Understand?
It's gosh,
big guy problems.
People staring at you all the time would be.
It just
the worst.
It would be so much better than the alternative. I'm telling you, I know.
No.
Mike,
no.
I know reading this question that this seems like it's such a home run answer for you that your preference would be, hey, I would love to have no one watch me at all times. That would be great. But I genuinely think if you play that out in reality where no one ever looks towards you again in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think that that would be a true nightmare of depression. It sounds great at first glance.
No, I don't think it sounds great.
But
your kids and your wife would be problem numbers.
Yeah,
number one and
two. I get that. But list any activity. Going to a restaurant. Can you imagine?
Everybody looking?
100 people staring at you while you eat.
You just don't do it.
Yeah.
That was not a shaming joke.
Like, Jason wants the first one.
Right. Well, yes.
Oh, gosh. That level of fame sounds awful.
Awesome. Oh, no. Yeah. Awful. That's totally agree.
I will have to take the staring at me.
No,
I will have to use it
no
to my
way.
Advantage. That will be a lot of influence that I'll have on the world. If I have them, and I'll obviously that will be the motivator to get in good shape.
Sure.
When everyone's looking at me, I guarantee that'll be the thing that really gets it going.
Enjoy the gym while everyone is watching every single workout you do.
Private workouts.
Yeah. If everyone is staring at you, I'm telling you, you will end up.
Okay.
You will go full.
Neither is our official answer.
What's the Howard Hughes?
Oh yeah. I went crazy.
Yeah. You'll start. Growing
Another
your
movie
nails
that's
out,
too long
peeing
with
in
him.
Bottles.
Another DiCaprio movie that's way too long.
You just brought a conversation off the podcast into the podcast.
As a reference.
Remember that? Remember that, people? Remember when we were talking about The Revenant being too long?
Well, it doesn't everybody...
Oh, you don't remember because it wasn't on the podcast?
It was during lunch over here.
I thought everybody stared at me.
Look, everybody knows that DiCaprio movies are too long anyway. He likes to do long movies, so what can I say?
I love them.
Long, great movies.
I love them, Leo.
Yeah, he's good. All right, we'll move on. Daniel from Patreon, would you rather be the world's best tuba player in the world's best orchestra or an average lead guitarist in a band that's successful but never makes it big?
I'm confused by the successful but never makes it big because...
Oh.
You tour and you make a living, but you don't make it big.
You're a touring...
That exists.
Oh, 1,000%.
That's most bands, probably.
Yes. That's the life of, if you are a true professional musician or in a band, that's more than likely your life. You're playing, like you can book a tour throughout the U.S. and you're playing venues that hold like 100 people, 100 to 150 people, which is like when you're in them, I mean, that's...
Feels good.
Yeah, it feels great. I'd love to rock a stadium, but... It's not the worst thing, but also you're average. You're not great.
I'm taking the tuba. I mean, I like playing the guitar, and that would be really nice. But if I'm known as the world's,
but you're not known, right? Because you're the world's.
You're known in tuba circles.
No, that's Mr.
Holloway.
No, what do you do for a living? I'm in the world's best orchestra. End of sentence. You don't need to know.
You're in the world's best orchestra, you would never say that I'm in the world's best orchestra.
What is?
If they ask me.
What's the world's best orchestra?
Oh, good question.
Well, there's Humphreys, School of Wizarding and Witchcraft.
That's my point, is your notoriety level is nothing.
What, you don't think that if you, look, your circle, if you're in this, it's got to be a bunch of people that respect that, right?
Yes, it's a small circle.
Other tuba players.
That's what I said. In the tuba circles, he's huge. No, I would definitely take the guitar. And So here's the funny thing on the back of this question from Daniel from Patreon is like, everybody wants some eyes on them, or yeah, most people want some eyes on them, but you don't want to be like this crazy, like truly being the world's biggest celebrity. That is a nightmare that we can't comprehend, which is why so many of these people end up going insane, because right, they just can't live any semblance of a normal life. But if you can sell out 100 to 200 person place all across the country, that's a pretty sweet gig. You're popular, you're beloved in much larger than tuba circles. And here's the thing. If you out there listening are an average guitar player, to me, you're an incredible musician. You are awesome. Right. And you know what I mean? Like,
hey, play a song and they can play you a song.
Whoa. That's incredible. Like, Andy, I think you're a great musician. I don't know if you know that, because you could play a few songs on a guitar. I don't know how you feel about you. But
better now.
Right? I mean, that's all it takes to impress me as a musical guy. Can you play an instrument?
Hey, tuba player, what's your favorite tuba part? And he goes,
no, impress me. Play your best stuff.
I'm playing it.
So neither of you are taking the tuba.
No way.
That makes sense, because I aspire to like absolute greatness. Like being the best at something isn't something in your potential.
I think genuinely your path towards that is actually in playing a tuba. I think that's the easiest path forward.
Yeah, I have great news for you, Andy.
The competition's low? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, have you ever played a brass instrument?
I did play an alto sax for 2 weeks.
That's a woodwind.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you,
Al. Ah, music.
I was going to, like, that's a reed instrument. But no, which is great news. That means you've never had to play like a trumpet or anything
No.
You could pick it up today and you could finish your life still as the best tuba player of all time.
The gap is not that far.
It probably really is. I'm sure there are
tuba players. Is there a musical bias coming from the two, Al Borland and the Hitman here? Do you guys have something against these instruments?
No, you need the tuba. You
just don't want to be the tuba.
It's not a solo instrument.
That is, look, tuba players out there, they're getting real flustered and real mad. But here's the thing.
Both of them.
Here's the thing. here's the deal. You got moved to the tuba because you were like eighth chair trumpet.
Oh, no.
And they were like, and they said, we really need, you need to have a tuba player. You could be our best tuba player. And so they move over.
That's
how
all tuba.
Because they were the only tuba player.
So nobody starts as tuba. They only end up in tuba.
No.
If you start your kid right now at tuba, he will become the best tuba player in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're right, yeah.
All right, well, I've learned a lot. Do we want to move on, Al, or do you want to go one more?
Do we have any more tuba questions?
Let's do one more.
Right. A tuba question?
Fiona, yes. From the website, non-tuba. Mm. Would you rather gain the ability to speak 5 different languages or be able to understand 5 different languages?
Oh, speak them.
Hold on, as soon as you start to answer,
there's a big problem with both.
How can you possibly speak a language if you don't understand it? You could say words, but you can't string together a coherent sentence.
Well, let's say you had the ability to think in English and speak in 5 different languages. So when you speak and you make the sound, you just comprehend it. I think that could happen. I mean, in a mystical world. And then
understanding
5 different languages means that you cannot communicate back. That's the question. Do you want to be able to communicate out to 5 different language groups or get communication in from, which is more valuable, right? Al's nodding profusely.
That's the crux of the question.
You can't have one without the
other. I get it. In reality,
you want to make a bet?
In reality, you cannot do this one without the other. But I understand the question that is what Andy's saying, which is,
Into France, you want to understand people talking to you, or do you want them to understand you talking to them, which is more valuable?
But if they understand what I'm saying to them...
Mike can't handle this.
No, I cannot, because if they can understand me, that means that I can communicate in that language, means I would understand it when it comes back.
I've got a different way to word this. Please
help me.
You have an electronic device that can translate one direction.
Okay.
So when you're talking, it can either translate what you're speaking into their language so they can understand you, okay? But you won't be able to necessarily understand what they say back,
yep.
Or vice versa. Okay. They have it, and they've got the electronic
well
device.
Well done, Jason. You really communicated that well. Did Mike understand it?
Oh, I got it. We just had
so both directions.
We had to completely change the question to make it work.
But what would be more valuable? Like if I'm going to travel, which I mean, if you understand languages one direction or the other, traveling seems like what you're doing to bring value to that skill,
mm-hmm.
other than showing it off at parties. So, which I at parties, being able to speak it is the one that you want because
for sure.
then you can show it off. But what's more valuable? Isn't it more valuable if you're going to a place that you don't understand anything anyways to be told stuff than
yes.
you telling them?
Yes, I would.
I think I want to understand the languages.
I want to be able to understand it. I want to be able to understand if I'm in, it's just me and then there's a couple people speaking a different language. I want to keep tabs.
Yeah, like, don't talk about
don't,
me.
Don't be talking that garbage in French about me.
That's oui, a oui. Nice. That's a nice little extra feature of being able to hear the languages. I also think there's a problem. If you could speak the language but not understand it, you'd really come across as a jerk because you'd be speaking this language and they would answer you and you'd be like, I yes. don't know what you're saying.
I would like that baguette. And then they're trying to tell you we don't have any more baguettes.
Now, if
you just keep repeating yourself yeah. over and over.
There's obviously going to be a gap here where there's a problem. One party does not understand the other.
It's going to hand motions at that point.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is it easier to try to explain something with hand motions, or if you could talk to someone to comprehend what they're saying back to you?
I think it's easier your direction outward. But, I mean, to thumbs up, thumbs down, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know
okay.
what I mean? To communicate outward.
Yeah, so you want to be the charade.
Yes.
Der.
The charader. Yeah.
All right. I agree. So we're going to understand five languages.
That's yeah. what I'm doing.
Not as cool at parties,
right.
but good for traveling.
Say something. Say something in another language. Watch me. All right, let's move on.
I understood that.
Spitballers to the rescue.
Jordan from Twitter, my wife constantly wants to rearrange the house. We just got done rearranging it a month ago. How do I get out of having to move all the furniture once again? I don't know if you gentlemen have someone in your life that is like this, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, fortunately for me, it's not my wife.
Oh.
But I get to watch my father suffer with this.
Oh,
because
no.
Because my mom, and maybe not suffer might be overstating
sure.
it, but endure it. My mom loves to rearrange and to repaint.
Oh, okay. That's a different level.
My mom lives her life looking for a justifiable reason to repaint a room. So if you get a new chair, we should probably repaint the room.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a new mat for your chair, we got to repaint the room.
No.
And she loves it.
But it's clear.
And she loves it.
Here's a huge point of clarity, because I deal with some of this as well, but when she says, okay, we got this new chair, we need to repaint the room, does she, A, repaint the room, B, look to hire someone to repaint the room, or C, say, we should repaint the room, now you do it, Dad?
Combo of A and C.
Correct. Combo of A and C, because she can't move all the furniture. So that's you're baking it in where he's got to help with the furniture. Now, the best part of this is, at one point in the past, she had painted the room she now dislikes, right?
Right.
Because it was her design to begin with. So now it is not good. Mm. Then it was very good.
Yeah, but times ebb and flow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's things I liked that. In the past that I wouldn't want now. And yeah, I remember a day back in the early 2000s where we put up these really nice like regal curtains, and they were great for the time. And now I'm like, that would look so stupid.
Now, this was cool as a kid because I got my room like all redone all the time. And it was neat.
Well, that sounds fun.
It was fun as a kid. Oh, well, let's put the bed here. Let's put the desk right. there. Let's paint it blue. Let's put up whatever.
The main piece of advice that I have for Jordan here is furniture pads.
You can slide.
So
you can slide them. You just never take them off of the furniture pads.
Oh.
You don't buy them. You just leave them. You got the couch, and you get little feet underneath your four corners of the couch. And then whenever she wants to rearrange,
much easier.
You just got to get rid of carpet.
I mean, is there...
You got to slide around all your hardwood floor.
So I'm trying to think through it for our guy Jordan here. in your house, think of your house right now, of stuff that you can actually move. Okay, like, because I mean, there's going to be like your television and whatever wall unit or thing, like that has to be on that wall. That you can't really.
Yeah, usually speaking,
you
absolutely
can't really move that. Is there a piece of furniture in your house that is just, you look at it and you go, I will never, ever move that again?
Piano.
My bed. Okay, so we both have one, and I probably have like
your
four.
Piano's, what is it, a...
it's heavy, man.
But so the, like a half where it's up against the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, so not on wheels?
I mean, technically the front two corners are on wheels, but they're useless wheels.
Dude,
I mean,
I have one of those. Those piano wheels are for show.
They are not. I have like mats underneath them.
They
don't
do
anything.
Those
legs will snap before the wheels roll.
Interesting.
I don't know how they designed them that way.
Why do they even pretend to put wheels on these things? They don't work.
So that's mine. And you said your bed, because you have a bed that's like over 100 million pounds or something.
I have the heaviest bed in the world, yes.
I don't like your bed frame?
Well, so I've got the bed frame that like does the lift and the, you know, it's got that and then the frame around it. And there's just so many pieces to it. I don't want to ever deal with that.
Rearranging that is it's
that's
evil thing.
My parents had me help them move so many times that all their furniture, 100% oak. It was credenzas.
Wow, the good old days.
Credenzas for days.
Credenzas. I don't even know what you use these like 12-foot long things with a single door on the front, but I know you can't move it. It was at least 2 tons. And,
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, so Jordan, buy from IKEA. That's step one.
Yes,
okay,
there you go.
Because you can move that with one arm.
Yeah.
Like fully built.
Really a strong breath.
Right. Yeah. You just
step two is have kids.
Okay.
Why is because
they'll move. They'll move stuff with her instead of you.
Helpers. I was going
to
go.
You can
with,
get your kids to help move stuff.
Sure, at a certain age. I mean, it's just like growing them to help you with the farm work. I mean, yeah, why do you think people had kids?
I mean, if you have a boy, you just challenge the masculinity.
Yeah, it's a hot tip, but you can't lift that.
But otherwise, it's a fake chronic back problem.
Ooh.
Although that, like, if you're a golfer or anything like that, it's going to be a problem.
You will need an acupuncturist.
The web of lies is going to have to grow.
My back is acting up again. Haven't you seen me wear that brace? I haven't.
Would it help him to, like, move to Manhattan? Like, you can't, how many times can you rearrange, like, a little flat?
Smaller place is better, probably.
Smaller place. You just got a few things. Even if she wants to rearrange every couple days.
But what if you end up on, like, in a walk-up? And then there's just a new piece of furniture that you got to bring that thing up 4 flights.
It's a challenge. Mm. Divorce. All right, Elizabeth from Patreon. My husband and I would like your official ruling on robot vacuums.
Yep.
Oh.
Are they worth having? Are they a sufficient replacement for regular vacuuming? Or are they a complete waste of money that requires more time to fix and coach than just vacuuming the house in the first place? I won't say who's on what side. But I will say he doesn't do any of the cleaning.
I got to tap out.
Oh,
I've never robo-vacuumed.
I've lived that life.
I have lived that life as well. I've got a clear and obvious correct answer.
I think we both hate them.
I love the theory.
Yes.
They are the worst.
They're not good.
Are they?
They're not good.
They don't do crap. They have this little
bin. They get
bin.
In the way.
They have a little bin. Here's what's going to happen when you get a robot vacuum, okay? You're going to set it up. Maybe even you go through all the, like, I'm going to set the boundaries so it knows exactly where to go in my house and do all this.
Right.
Then you're going to go to bed. You're going to set it to run while you're asleep. When you wake up and you look at the charger where it's supposed to be, it ain't there. It's stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
It has done nothing. But yet, while your whole floor is dirty, the bin is completely full of junk. It can't pick up anything else. This thing breaks all the time, doesn't vacuum in the right spots, and you can even take it, like, let's say you spilled a bunch of Frosted Flakes in a specific area. There's a mode where you could go put it on top and you hit, like, the spot clean. It doesn't ever go in the right spot. Ever. So then you're going to end up getting your vacuum out and going and vacuuming over the spots it missed.
I mean, Jason summed it up very well.
Wow.
I would say that most of the time, what I did with my robot vacuum, and I've had a couple of them, stupidly, was try to declog it or try to cut whatever strands of
the
something
strings.
That would stop it from spinning.
There's always strings, apparently, in everybody's house that just
there
get
are,
vacuumed
we've all got so many strings that we didn't know about. But no, I don't think the technology, this is like Tesla 10 years before it was worth driving. We need the technology to go up. Mm.
It is a brilliant idea. Just have the house vacuumed every night while I sleep, but it doesn't
work.
Have
you seen some of the new, they've got new ones that have mopping and vacuuming together with bins, with cleaning.
That.
Oh, you've bought that.
Yeah, I bought that.
So you keep falling into the trap.
Oh, and I will again, because one day, Mike, one day they're going to get it right.
But, word on the, I'm getting this in. Yep. Those strings are called hair.
No. Literally, I'm telling you, I've had robot vacuums, I think, five different times in my life, because I keep falling for the trap. When you let it run for a week and then you go to try to clean that brush, there are literal I don't know what the strings are from. There's just strings everywhere. Hmm. Apparently, in my house, we have a lot of strings.
Your wife is a seamstress, is she not?
That does.
It's not thread, though. It's I don't even know how to explain it. Magic strings.
Is this a bad time to?
It's spider webs.
To bring up that this show brought to you by Roomba.
I wish that they were better. That technology is great.
All right.
But we're not there yet, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, look, I'm glad because I've never gone in.
One more here. J.E. Brill from Twitter. I am trying to decide between two similar jobs. Same role, same pay. Oh, this is some real life advice. But one.
That's the name of the segment, man.
No, I know, but I mean, some ring truer. One is the for a startup. The other is for a very large and established company. Which should you choose and why?
Oh, man.
I got my answer. I'll wait to hear your guys.
Well, look,
stage of life.
Now I feel like I'm giving real advice.
Yeah, which is not as fun.
I'll just say this. There is no such thing as security. Now, Boom. That doesn't mean that a large and established company doesn't offer you benefits that are different than a startup, because there are some benefits there. Like, the large and established means that, like, you probably have really good insurance and you probably have very structured vacations and bonuses or, you know, some of those things might exist there. But don't pretend that it's secure. I grew up thinking that big companies were super secure and people worked there for 20, 30 years, get your retirement and you're done. All I've done my entire life.
It used to be that.
It did used to be that. But now it's more like you're part of a big company, so you think that, but then they lay you off because they can move work overseas and then you can't find another job. So I think that if you're doing it for security, it's a bad decision to go with the large company.
And if you're doing it for fun,
it's also a bad idea.
Still a bad decision, because big companies have red tape and boring procedures. Go with a startup, play ping pong half your day.
But no ghost money.
Yeah. Make sure you're
paid
actually
real money.
Paid real money. And then you have a company to grow with. You know what I mean? Maybe someday it'll be the very large and established company and you were there at the ground floor.
And you can quit and go to the other company.
That's right. You're always able to exit and just go next door.
That was going to be my advice, is if you are qualified currently for the very large established company, you're likely qualified for that company yet again if the startup fails in 2 years.
That's a good point, too.
So, you know, bet on yourself, Mr. Brill.
Play some ping pong. Startup.
All right, let's...
Is that the requirement? Is that what separates
a large
company from a startup, is just the ping pong table?
A large and well-established company will never have company ping pong.
Unfortunately.
If it has company ping pong, then you know
it's still a startup?
It's still a startup, no matter the size.
And then once they come in and they pack it up, you know, they've made the transition.
Mm-hmm. They're curmudgeons
now.
Yeah.
A little bit of a question here.
Yeah.
We used to have a ping pong table.
Right.
We don't anymore.
We are very well established, guys. We're super big.
That's good to know.
The Spitballers Draft.
You guys
throwing your headphones in so you can hear music.
Listen, Mike. We are drafting the best music themes part two.
Yeah.
And one of the look, I said it on the last show. I would love to be playing these themes for you. Our legal counsel, and Al, has told us that that's probably not advisable.
So you will just play it for yourself.
Well, look, if I, for some reason, can't summon the tune, because we have so many tunes crossing streams here.
Sure.
Then it's going to be great when you forget one, Mike.
Like, for instance, let's say you had the number one pick.
Right.
And you knew the song you wanted to get, but you couldn't recall it. But then you put on the music and you hear do 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 do.
Oh, I wasn't sure where it would go. It's at the top of my list for part two.
Yeah, I mean,
that is it's E.T., right?
Yes, it is E.T.
Another J. Willie.
Yes, another John Williams. That will be the first pick here. E.T. was
an
egregious absence from the. That's not how you say that.
That's fine.
From the last episode.
For my, so way back a week ago, that was with my final pick. I was torn between Terminator, which I took at the time, and E.T.
Which is a great pick.
Yeah, E.T. is. Yeah.
Yes, all right, Terminator's great, too. They're all great.
E.T.'s whimsical, makes you feel like a kid.
All right, I am up. Idiots. I am sad. That was one of the ones I really wanted. I'm going to go with Mission Impossible.
Okay.
Okay.
That one was tough for me. It is. I will completely allow it. It is definitely a movie theme. Mm-hmm. It was a TV theme first. Yeah. But I'm going to allow it.
Okay.
I'm going to allow it. I just want people
to
understand.
You're speaking very authoritarian.
I want people to know when they go to the polls.
Oh, my God.
That song was a television theme first.
Yes, now, but much like many other shows, it was amplified in the movies. It was orchestrated in the movies.
If you want to take the Limp Bizkit version, then
no,
I will allow
it. No, I will be taking the orchestrated version.
Yeah, I mean, they did use the same like melody and sound, and like the whole song was
right,
the same.
Right, it was the same thing.
It was in a movie
and orchestrated. I'm going with Mission Impossible.
I will pretend that was not on my list and make fun of your pick.
All right, Mike, you have two picks.
All right, so there is the game because I feel like there's one. Whatever. We're just gonna go with the heart here. I don't know which order I'd prefer these ones, but I have two picks, so it doesn't really matter. With the first pick, I will take what has evolved into a blockbuster franchise.
Dang it.
I don't know. That could be several movies. But these movies involve a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Shouldn't they have stopped sooner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. But they kept making money.
They should have stopped where Indiana Jones stopped, at three.
Yes.
Right. It's funny how some movies, if they go too far, the originals maintain their greatness. And I feel like that one, somehow the later movies also stripped the early ones of their greatness.
The first one is so good.
Remind me, the Pirates.
Bum, 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 bum,
that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pirate music.
Good. No, that's good.
You can hear the swords clinking and clacking.
Yes, as the pirates often do.
And so I will go with that pick, which is a full orchestrated masterpiece into something that was created simply on a synthesizer machine.
No, don't do it. I wanted to take it number one, but
you did.
E.T. was there. Don't do
it. Oh, and I will take Beverly Hills Cop. I will take the Axel F.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, if you... Like, I feel like there are plenty of people, plenty. In fact, maybe the majority of our audience have never watched Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know.
That's curious.
We could throw
I've never
poll.
Seen it.
Any of them?
That's
never.
That's inexcusable, mind-blowing.
Do you
egregious.
Go if you so okay to fresh face over here? Would you recommend going back to number one, or you're going
no,
to?
You're
going
I'm going to go two? To two. Okay. I'm going to go to two, but two and then one because you'll be like, I want more of this.
What's great
but
about
you still
this,
know the song? Like even if you haven't heard seen the movie,
what's great about? Well, a lot of kids know it now because the stupid frog. Ring ding 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 ding. He had his own version, but. The Axel F, I think it's called, it's either Axel F or Axel Foley. You can name that tune if you have the right synthesizer tone. That's like one note. You know immediately. Oh, yeah, that's the Beverly Hills Cop song.
Now I got to find a new
pick. All right, so you don't get that either, Jason. All right, I'm back on the clock.
You could have left me E.T.
I am going to go with, I'm going to give Danny Elfman some credit here.
Okay.
I'm going to give the 1989.
I think Elfman was Mission Impossible.
Batman. I'm going to give him credit again. I'm going to give him credit again.
Okay, okay.
Batman from 1989.
Yes. So moody.
It's so spectacular. So Keaton Nicholson and that Batman.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
It's a fantastic theme. I recall.
Plus, it really started the series. I mean, that started the. I mean, we're not. Adam West has this place, but the movies and the. That was just great.
The. Did you see that in the theater?
No, I did not because I was not old enough.
Oh yeah, I was very young, and that was like a big deal. Of my pops, who was a super Batman fan, brought me to the movie theater to see it, and my biggest memory of the movie. Was so. I mean, we can vet the age, but six, maybe seven. So I mean, I got a little kid brain, and the intro is like just them, you know, doing like this weird computer stuff over the logo, where it's the Batman, and I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on, and it was like the longest intro I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where I'm like.
I remember that. It's
what?
They were into incredibly long intros in the 80s.
That intro was
like,
so long.
You were getting the nieces of the sound designer, the assistant sound designer, in the opening credits.
Oh. But it's a great song.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the 80s.
You're like a man who doesn't know what to pick.
No. There's a lot to pick here. But I think I'm going to go back to the 80s, like you guys were just saying. Long intro music. And there's a couple bangers in here. Their theme song is amazing. Sure. But sometimes when you think of this movie, you also think of another specific song.
Okay.
And this movie's coming back out.
I'm
going
on my list.
Up in the air.
Yes.
I'm going with Top Gun, baby.
How's that one go, Jay?
Highway to the Danger Zone is what my brain goes to.
When the guitar kicks in, it goes.
It goes.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. What?
And for my second pick,
what did you?
You're the one supposed to hop in here and help us out with these.
That's
what
I was
doing. Do you remember it?
Yeah. Top Gun.
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Check the tape.
We know they can. All
right. What's your next pick?
My next pick is.
Oh, that's.
I believe.
That was so good.
Check me on this one.
That's a good pick.
I think it's Steve Vai. So
Top Gun?
Yeah, Owl looked that up for me. I think Steve Vai or Petrucci. Or
Stanley Tucci.
Look, yeah, it was Stanley
I'm
Tucci.
I'm seeing Top Gun Anthem Harold Faltermeyer.
No, but who's the guitar player on the track?
Steve Stevens?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was Vai. Oh. Mm. Sorry.
Cool story. Now, this one is one where I know I love. It doesn't quite have the same hook, and I'm hoping, Mike, that you can recall this because I know you've heard it a kajillion times. It is so thematic for things that at least Mike and I desperately love. They even have a land in Disneyland.
Yeah, okay.
But the Avengers. Yes!
It's also it's like it's the Marvel stinger now. And
it's good.
It's
very good.
It took a long time for me though. Like after seeing the first Avengers movie, I thought it was a totally forgettable motif, and I was like, I'm not into this. But over time, where Marvel is like in my heart now. So
it does
like,
associate with the memory of being
so there. So it definitely has an emotional connection. But yes, now when I hear that line, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm about to see an incredible movie.
All right, I am back up.
Dun-dun-dun.
You are.
Dun-dun-dun. All right, I'm going to go with Lord of the Rings.
Okay, that one I can't sing.
Okay, I remember now. That was so bad. You got it.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. That's what I like. I heard what he was doing.
I was a little. I was getting,
you brought the flutes in. Right.
Key,
I was there.
Key off. So that's what I'm going to go with. Lord of the Rings.
That's really good. I love the Lord of the Rings music. It's on my list, but I couldn't remember what it was.
That's the main hook.
Yes, that is. I felt like I went and I listened to like 3 minutes of their intro theme song, and they never got to the hook.
No, that's the hook, is that one.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, you're back.
All right,
Jack.
Excellent. I figured this one would come back because it's not at the... Whoop, I'm dropping stuff. It's not at the level that it should be. The movie is fantastic, but the main theme from it is now, like, I think starting to build, like, a lot of people use this for, like, if they're making TikToks and Reels. I mean, I'm probably getting targeted because I like space stuff. But the theme song from Interstellar
is outstanding.
Is something that, like, I can fire. I go to YouTube. This song looped for an hour. It's that type of song where you can
just have it. Yeah, because it's got different highs and lows.
It's much, that one you can't really do the melody because you need the other part of the music to create the tension in it. But it is fantastic and really makes and takes Interstellar to a whole new
out to outer space.
Yeah, I wanted a space pun in there.
Yeah, I think that. You know, when we look at these great classics, like, that music is unbelievable. Like, it's really great. I remember watching it being like, this is awesome.
Yes.
That movie's great.
But if you don't, like, if you're the composer and you decide not to just put in a super hook, like,
the hook is there.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Over time.
Yes. The hook is there. We need some more time between the movie and later on. There's also no sequels.
That's a hook.
Sure.
No, I can agree with that. I don't think it's a prototypical theme, but it's a very good theme.
It's an awesome score. Yeah, it's just not. It's not. It doesn't have the memorable hook.
It sucks.
Exactly.
Are you? You got one more, Mike?
I have one more, and I am really torn because this is the end,
dude. You have to.
Oh yeah, I mean it's in the running for me. It is in the running for me.
I mean, it will happily go undrafted if you don't give it any credit.
I totally understand that. Fine, I will take it because it's so fantastic. I will take Blade Runner by Vangelis, who is also the person who wrote Chariots of Fire, which I'm sure you guys would much prefer Chariots of Fire.
The movie, I don't know about the music. The music was great in Blade Runner, if I can.
Yeah.
No, that was
I remember
great.
That part
that
of the
did,
movie.
That did put me to sleep. Yeah.
All right.
I know. You need the YouTube shouting and stuff to stay awake.
I played.
Smash subscribe. Oh, my gosh.
I played the game with this, my final pick.
Blade Runner? It's a good game.
Not your final pick.
No.
I played the game because this would have been my number four pick in the last draft. But I knew I could make it all the way through this draft and make it my number four pick.
Interesting.
I actually think it's one of the absolute best movie songs ever. And that is...
And there's a game?
I'm saying I'm playing the game of our draft.
Oh, okay.
But I know neither of you were going to pick it.
Oh, okay. Good.
Which is the theme from Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Which I think is honestly one of the best scores, the best, and they play it, you know, some movies, they have a main theme, and they kind of use it every once in a while, but very rarely.
Yeah.
It's like through the whole movie is the song. I mean, it's like, it just keeps coming back up.
What is it?
I can't help you.
Yeah, I can't.
That's not helpful. You didn't even let me get even close to getting into it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounds good. It sounds good. I never saw Last of the Mohicans.
I've never seen it either.
I feel like it's...
Go watch. I actually watched it within the last...
Hold up.
For the very first time, I watched it within the last 5 years.
Oh, man. I don't
care. And it held up completely. It's a fabulous movie, and the score makes half the movie.
Is that Costner?
No.
Then I'm out.
Daniel Day-Lewis. How about in again?
Ooh,
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, he's the main character.
Okay.
Sounds pretty dark.
I'm
in.
Now do you know it?
The movie was too dark, so they went with the circus song to lighten it up.
Now, hold on. Al, just on the off chance you've seen this movie, have you seen Last of the Mohicans?
I have not.
Say no way.
Do yourself a favor. Pull up the main theme.
Well, what about Brooks? Brooks, have you seen Last of the Mohicans? You're a movie guy.
No,
course.
I haven't.
Oh, boom, in your face!
I want to now, though.
I know the theme, though.
No, do you actually know the theme?
No.
Or you were just making fun of me, too. Okay, yeah, you're a real funny guy.
I have heard great things about it. It's just one of those, I missed it.
All right, so I am up with my last pick, and I'm a little surprised this made it all the way through, and maybe it's...
I think we're going to find out why.
I'll bet we are. But Ghostbusters.
It's on my list.
I mean, Ghostbusters is one of the most iconic...
How's that go again?
Mike?
I felt that one kind of like cheating.
Yeah.
Because like that's a radio hit, but that is the song. That's Ghostbusters.
I mean, who are you going to fault?
Who are you going to...
Ghostbusters.
I said fault for taking the pick. But yes, it was who are you going to call?
Yeah.
E.T., Top Gun, The Avengers, Ghostbusters for Jason. I went with Mission Impossible. Batman. We got to specify that one.
Yeah, you do, because Dark Knight was on my list.
Lord of the Rings and The Last of the Mohicans. Mike with Pirates of the Caribbean, Beverly Hills Cop, Interstellar, and Boar Runner. Mm. Do you like what I did there?
I did.
I did.
All right.
What did we learn today?
We learn anything today?
Yeah, I learned the reality is you should always work with ping pong tables and then quit and go somewhere bigger if you need to.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think we gave very, very good advice today. I think Jason still thinks he's on The Truman Show. That's what I learned
today. Yes, and I learned that...
I know I am.
I learned the robo-vacuums are... Ooh. Still a waste of money.
That's true.
Well, to be fair, I haven't bought one in like a year. So let me try it again.
Try the new technology. Pay more. Make sure you let us know what other themes we forgot. I know that there were other good ones. Gladiator was on the list. Godfather, Psycho.
Requiem for a Dream.
All right. Leave it in the comments. We'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.